Tonight, take your scriptures and open to the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4, and begin reading in verse number 2, and we'll read down through verse number 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Paul writes the church of Colossae, and he deals with the different matters, and here in this particular passage, he tells them to continue in prayer. That's what verse number 2 starts with, those three words, continue in prayer. So let's read these verses together, and then we'll note some things. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Paul is dealing with situations, things that applied to the church here of Colossae. If I remember correctly, I may be wrong on this, but I do not believe that Paul at this time had visited this church. It had been started by other folks that is preaching the gospel. But Paul writes to them in this passage, and he admonishes them to continue in prayer. Tonight, as we are gathered here on Wednesday night, as we do every Wednesday night, we call it prayer meeting. We have our prayer request, as we do also on Sunday morning. And I believe it's one of the foremost essentials of the believer's life and also the life of a local church is that we continue in prayer. Now, we can go through the motions and everything seems sometimes to work pretty good. It's almost like a well-oiled machine that just continually works the way it's supposed to. But sometimes we must realize that just because it works well doesn't mean the Lord is smiling at us with it working so well. We need to have continual prayer and supplication one for another, and then just praying that the Lord would help in the ministries and the work, and praying for the needs that the church has. And so tonight he tells this church, continue in prayer, and it's always, most every time that you find Paul writing about prayer and instructing us to pray, it's always with thanksgiving. You and I tonight, we have much to be thankful for. God has been so much blessing unto us, and he says here to watch and in this the same with thanksgiving. He says, praying also for us. Paul says, not only do you just pray, but there's specific things you pray. And Paul says, I want you to pray for us. And there he's dealing with, talking about those that were with him in the ministry and those that were preaching the gospel in different places. He says, praying for, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Paul, in particular, was a prisoner much of the ministry that he had. He said, I'm in bonds even now, as he asked for the prayers of God's people. But you notice what he does not ask that the bonds be broken. He does not ask them to pray that he would be freed. He just simply asked them that the Lord would open a door unto them, that utterance or that proclaiming the gospel would be able to go forward. And he says that we may speak the mystery of Christ. And that is the ministry, that is the message that you and I have tonight, that God would open doors to us in many different facets and avenues that we could preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us in Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 21, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So that's what the Lord desires, that his house be, a house of prayer. Now, I know there's other things that's involved in the worship of the Lord. I know there's other integral things that we do to have church. But I'll tell you what, it has to be energized, and I believe the foundation must be a fervent prayer life of God's people, that we would continue to work for the Lord. We say that, we read here that he says continue in prayer. That means that they were to pray often. Other places of the scripture says pray without ceasing. As I've said so many times, that scripture says pray without ceasing doesn't mean you have to go around with your head bowed and uttering prayers 24 hours a day, but it just means to have a attitude that if you need to get a hold of the Lord, you can get a hold of God. You can pray to the Lord and pray without ceasing in certain areas of our life, that when we pray, we are continually besieging the throne of God for those things. Here at church, we take our prayer request on Wednesday night, as we have just done. We do that on Sunday morning, and we pray and we ask God's blessings and God's help. And many, many times we have seen folks raise their hands. So I don't have a prayer request, but I have a praise. The Lord's answered a prayer. And thank God when he answers a specific prayer that we have, that we know that the Lord has heard us and that we know God has answered our particular prayer. We pray in the process of during the service. We have our prayers. We pray at the end of the service most of the time. And so that's the form that we have of praying. But the thing of praying is, the question maybe should be asked, do we pray for the power of God? Do we pray for the presence of the Lord in the lives of his people? And therefore, the only way it can be in the house of God is that we must have his power upon us, because we make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I that are a part of this this congregation, we make up this church, and this church will only be what we are. It'll only be as spiritual as we are. It'll only be as good as we are. It'll only do what we do because we are collectively together at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Grace Baptist. I find in these verses tonight the possibility that we would cease to pray. If Paul here encourages the Colossians to continue in prayer, then I believe he understood, and we should understand, there is that possibility that we might stop praying, that we might get tired, we might get weary and doing well, and we might give up and not pray any longer. And so Paul encourages them not to give up. He encourages them not to cease, but he encourages them to continue in prayer. We work things out many times in our own strength and our own wisdom, which fails us on time and time again. And one of the problems that we face today is that we're pretty good at religion. We're pretty good at putting on the show. But really the thing that gets everything done correctly and right is, I believe, bathed in this thing called prayer. Our personal walk with the Lord, our personal dealings with God. And sometimes our prayer life becomes lethargical. Sometimes we do it out of habit. Sometimes we do it just because we're supposed to. And those are not the best reasons to pray. We should pray because we have that need, and we realize that need, and we feel that that need can only be met by going to our Lord. If we're not careful, we'll be like some of these that the Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7. He says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Our prayers don't have to be long. Our prayers don't have to be wordy. Our prayers don't have to be grammatically correct. Our prayers between us and God is just a fellowship between two of us, that we can get some things answered and some things done in our life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue to pray. The verse there, when it says vain repetition, it's not talking about a continual praying over and over again for the same thing. That's totally different. But we are to pray, and I believe we are to besiege the throne of God and continually ask God to answer and give us an answer one way or the other, and that he would bless and that he would help us to have understanding. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18, there's the story that is given to us that the Lord tells his disciples that there's a judge. And the Bible says, Jesus said that this judge did not fear God and he did not regard man. That's in Luke 18, verses 2 through 8. Here's this judge that doesn't fear God. He's just a worldly judge. He's just like a judge we'd go before down here that doesn't know anything about the Lord, but he is a judge that is a judge of the law. And the Lord gives the disciples these words. He says, this judge that did not fear God, or did he didn't regard man. Verse number 3 says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So here's a judge. He could care less about her. He does not regard her. He don't consider her any different than anybody else. He didn't hold her in high regard or low regard. He looked at everybody the same way. And she comes to him and she said, would you please avenge me of my adversary? Verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. Here's this woman. She troubles him. Why? Because she continually comes to this judge and says, avenge me of my adversary. And he hears it day in, day out, week in, week out. And he said, I don't fear God. I don't regard her. But because she troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The judge said, I just get tired of it. And so I'm going to give her what she's asking for because she's going to weary me until something is done. And the Lord said, now he turns the attention to those whom he's speaking to, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Is God not going to hear our prayer? Sometimes it takes more than one prayer. Sometimes it takes more than one week of prayer. Sometimes it takes a continual bombardment of the Lord. And he says, if this unjust judge that doesn't fear God, if he would get weary of this woman, this widow coming continually, and finally would give her what she wanted, he does it for a wrong reason. He said, will not God avenge his own elect? Now don't get afraid of that word. We are the elect of God. We are the saved, and we are the elect of the Lord. And so will not God avenge us? We are his people, and we've been born again by the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? There's that continuing in prayer that Paul is talking with the Colossian church. He says in verse number 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Somebody says, that verse just doesn't seem like it ought to be there. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what that's in reference to? We very seldom use it this way, but it's in reference to, is he going to find enough? Is he going to find faith in the people of God at the end of the age, that we will continually pray to him and that we request his help? You know, are we going to give up? Are we going to quit? Are we just going to stop praying? And so he uses this illustration of this unjust judge, and he gives over to the continual call or the continual cry of this widow. And he says, she's going to weary me. She's going to worry me to death if I don't do something about this. And then he turns the table and says, will not God do the same for us? We are his people. And then he says, will the Lord find faith when he comes again? Is there going to be enough faith in our life that we will pray until we get an answer? That we will pray until the Lord answers our prayer? So often we hear people reciting what we call the Lord's Prayer. Really, it's the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So many times we hear that, and they think that is praying. it's a model, and we've gone over that time and time again, that it tells us how that we are to pray. Our Father, that's who our prayers are directed unto. We don't direct our prayers to each other. Sometimes we maybe pray so others can hear us, and sometimes we pray with the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we make long pretense of our prayers so that people will hear us. Well, God doesn't, He doesn't desire that kind of prayer. And so when we pray, we say, Our Father. We pray unto the Lord, and we ask God to have His provision for us, and that His will would be accomplished, and all those things that are listed there in that model prayer. Really, the Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, where the Lord prayed for His disciples. And He did not just pray for them, but He said, I pray for all those that come after you. And you can put your name there. Thank God He has prayed for us. And so tonight we hear people reciting the Lord's Prayer and doing all that. And they, as was then in John 17, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find the prayer that the Lord really, where He prayed for all those that had dealings with Him, and He answers and gives us victory. We're to pray individually. Now, we come together on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We pray collectively. I called on Brother Earl a while ago. Tonight, I'll call on somebody or dismiss myself. And we pray collectively, and we listen to what's being said, and we word our own prayer as folks are praying, or at least we should do that. And we pray individually, the individual prayer, really, I believe, is what gets the job done. It's that individual prayer when I'm alone with God, when I'm doing my own prayer life and my study of the Word of God, when I get alone with the Lord and I can talk to Him just like I would talk to Brother Bradley or any of you as friends together. We just sit down and have conversation. We talk, and that is where I believe the Lord hears our prayer, and I believe that's where things really get accomplished in the work of the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, here the Lord is saying, when you pray, enter into thy closet. Now we know what a closet is. He is really telling about, go to your place where you have your quiet, where it's quiet. You can't pray with the TV on, watching Kentucky or Louisville. I mean, we pray maybe the wrong way then. I think that's what the Bible says. We pray amiss. We miss it sometimes. But I'm talking about when we get alone with the Lord. When we have that special time that we are burdened about certain things and we just get with God and say, God, here I am. You know my heart. You know my life. Here's what I need. You know my needs. How are you going to supply? And you just get alone with the Lord. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And then He says, then you shut the door. That means you shut everything out. You turn your phone off. You turn the TV off. You turn the radio off. You just turn everything off in the world and get alone with the Lord. And if you've got a closet big enough to go to and shut the door, go for it. If you got a room you go to, you got a special place, then there's your closet. There's your place of private individual prayer that gets the job accomplished in our life. We pray to our Father, and the Scripture says, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. And that last word of that verse is the word openly. We go to Him privately. We go to Him by ourselves. We go to Him not collectively as a church or even as a family. We have our personal prayer time, and we go to Him in secret, and He rewards us, and everybody sees what God's done for us. They don't necessarily know what we've prayed for. We know, and therefore we know God's answered our prayer, but everybody around us say they've got what they need. And so that's very, very important. Continue thou in prayer. It's important that we spend time both in our prayer closet and in our public setting. It's important that we pray for each other. It's important that we pray with each other. It's good to have a prayer partner. I know there's been different times we had prayer partners that we would have prayer requests, two or three people, and they'd band together and pray at certain times and just have a prayer partner. And so there's so many different ways that we can continually pray unto the Lord, and we can do that without ceasing. When thou prayest, enter to thy closet. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Romans 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So it seems as though when Paul dealt with prayer, he wanted us to continue in it. It is the Lord inspiring the Apostle Paul to write these words to encourage us, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't say enough has been done. Enough has been said. Just continue in prayer. This expresses the possibility of God's people continuing and not ceasing to pray. Prayer is a privilege. You know, our country, our Supreme Court have made rules. They have said we can't pray in certain ways in certain places. I'll tell you what, can anybody in this world stop you from praying? It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the courtroom. It doesn't matter if you're in a church house. It doesn't matter if you're in your house, a schoolhouse. I saw the other day they called a group of people. There'd been a tragic thing took place, and they called people together. They came to the school to pray. I thought, how ironic. But our kids can't do it in there. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of kids in public school that are praying. Not everybody's a heathen in public school. There are good Christian boys and girls that are in churches, that are in homes, that love God. And you can't stop them from praying. The only way that you can be stopped from praying is to stop living. Because you don't have to have a place to kneel. You don't have to have a church house. You don't even have to have a tongue. You can pray just by meditating and thinking. God knows my thoughts without my words. God knows my intentions without my actions. And so here we find that it's important that we spend time, that we cultivate. I believe one of the greatest things that we could do in Grace Baptist Church this year is to cultivate a real time of prayer individually, that God would give us some certain things to pray for and to pray about and watch Him see what He will do for us. So I've heard that before. Wonder why it doesn't work. It's because sometimes we hear it and it goes on deaf ears and we do nothing about it. And so we find that Paul tells them here to continue in prayer. As I said a while ago, that shows a possibility that we would cease. Prayer is a privilege, and it is a blessing. People do not get their prayers answered for a lot of reasons. Some don't get their prayers answered simply because they don't pray. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. If you don't ask for something, don't blame God when you don't get what you need. You have not because you ask not. That's James chapter 4, verse 2. And so we find that sometimes our prayers are not answered because we just simply, well, we know we need it. God knows we need it, and so we go about our daily life. God wants us to pray. Now, my prayer life and your prayer life is not us informing God what we have need of. My Bible tells me He knows what I have need of before I know it. And so I'm not praying to say, now here's what I need, God. I want to let you know here's my problem. He already knows that. But He wants us to cultivate this thing of prayer that we can have a close fellowship with Him. And sometimes we just do not pray. Sometimes people don't get their prayers answered because they ask selfishly, only considering themselves. That is not the right kind of praying. That's sort of like the prosperity people you hear on the TV. Only thing you pray for is $1 million, so you can send me 3/4 of it. I mean, that's that process. If you'll do, I was flipping channels the other night. Every once in a while I do it, just, I guess, for the fun of it. Every person that I listened to that night, they had a lot of different things, but they had one thing in common. You send to me, and you'll get blessed. Oh, they may give you this, or they may give you something else, or that something. But it's all, the bottom line is, you send it to me, and you'll be blessed. Sometimes we pray selfishly. James 4:3 says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." That means it's wrong motive, wrong reason. Then he says, "That ye may consume it upon your own lust." That's selfish praying. Lord, I want this. I need this. I want this. Would you do this? Because it would make me so much better off. And sometimes the things we pray for do not make us better off. Sometimes they destroy us if we get what we want. I'm glad there's been a whole lot of prayers God did not answer for what I was wanting. Sometimes people don't get their prayers answered because they pray and then they say, "Well, I really don't think it'll happen anyway." Hey, don't waste your breath. The Bible says we are to what? Pray. What's the next word? Believing. Do we believe tonight that God can do anything? I believe He can. Amen. Then why in the world would I pray and say, "God, if you do this for me, I pray you do this," and we get up and say, "Well, I doubt it'll ever happen." It's not going to happen. God doesn't want us to pray doubting. He wants us to pray believing. Pray with an attitude of belief and understanding that God can do everything. He can do abundantly more than I would ever think about Him doing. Many times we don't believe God. People don't get their prayers answered. Sometimes they give up right before God answers their prayer. God wants us to have, He sort of wants us to be like this widow that comes. See how much you will. How much do you really believe? How much you're really going to ask? Luke 18:1 says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray." Oh, that doesn't stop there. The next words, "And not to faint." Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give up on the Lord. People don't get their prayers answered because they're really not seeking the will of God. They really, really are not in their own mind, maybe, and in their own words, they're saying, "I want to know the will of God." But many times we don't really want to know God's will. Why would the Lord withhold from us the best thing for us after salvation? Salvation is the best thing ever happened to any of us in here tonight. That's the best thing. But you know what the second best thing is? Knowing the will of God. Knowing what God wants in our life. Why would He withhold that if it's so important to us? He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will." It doesn't say if we ask anything, He hears. If we ask anything according to His will, I've asked some things that were not according to His will, and He would not answer. And so, if I ask according to His will, the Bible says, He heareth us. It doesn't mean He answers the way I want it, but He does hear us. And He does know what we want. He does know our desires. Sometimes people don't get their prayers answered just simply because of sinfulness in their heart. Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." People don't get their prayers answered because they're many times are lost. The only prayer that the Lord hears from a lost person, and I really believe this, is the prayer of belief in trusting Him. And then we begin our prayer life. Then we begin that walk with God. You saying, preacher, God doesn't hear lost people's prayer? He knows what they're praying, but I'm talking about really having, if you don't have a relationship, a fellowship with somebody, they can't hear you. They don't hear you. But when we call upon His name and He saves us, then we begin that personal walk with the Lord. Prayer is very personal. Everyone needs to spend time in prayer. From the oldest to the youngest, we need to spend time in prayer. From the pulpit to the pew, we need to spend time in prayer. We're no different. We're all made of the same thing. It is very personal. Our prayer ought to be focused. I'd like to encourage you this year to pray specifically for certain things. I'm not talking about a scattergun prayer that everybody's praying. I'm talking about a specific prayer in your life that you desire the Lord to do something personally as a personal prayer, that He'll do it for you. God cares just as much about you as He does me. God cares just as much about you as He does you. God cares for us. And we really need to get that fellowship with the Lord to the point that He knows and we're focused and we're looking to Him, and that He'll say, well, they're just going to continue to ask. I'm going to give them because I know what's right. And God knows what is right for us. So prayer is personal. Prayer should be focused. Prayer should be regular. Should be regular. Every day. More than once a day. Every day praying unto the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about a long drawn out prayer. Yeah. I'm just talking about when you need to get a hold of the Lord, you say, God, here's what I need. Lord, here I am. I've done some things, and at times I'd say, now, Lord, You know my heart. Here it is. Will You use it? And that's really the way I ought to pray over every message. That's the way we ought to pray over every day of our life. Lord, here I am. Would You use me? Can You use me? Will I permit You to use me? Help me, God, to see my opportunities to be a blessing to someone. To see my opportunity that I can witness to someone, tell somebody about how good the Lord is to me. I know they'll look at you like you've lost your mind. That's okay. We're in our right mind. Our minds are renewed. And so, Lord, help me be focused, be personal, be regular, be continual. That verse number 2 of Colossians 4, continue in prayer. Continue. Pray without ceasing. Pray with expectancy. That's that belief. I'm going to pray this and I expect God to do something. I have this need and I know God can answer me and I know God will answer me. Sometimes it's not just God can. We all just say God will, because we are His people. As He tells us there in that verse I read in Matthew, we are His elect. We have been chosen of the Lord. What a privilege that I can say that I'm a chosen child of God. He adopted us and put us into the family of the Lord. We've been birthed spiritually, but we've been also, another aspect of our relationship with God is that we've been adopted. We're there because He wanted us there. He saved us. And so we pray believing, pray expecting. Pray with communion with God. Sometimes it's good just to go say, Lord, I just want to tell You how good You are to me. Take some time to pray sometime and don't ask for anything. Hard to do because we're so geared to asking for. But sometimes just get alone with the Lord. Sometimes just get in your own place. And say, Lord, I just want to tell You how much I love You, how much I care, how much I'm glad You cared for me, how much You've done. And just list some blessings. It's not that God doesn't know, But it sure is good for us to know what God's done and articulate it and talk to God. When we pray publicly, and I've said this so many times, and it's not wrong, but so many times when we pray publicly, we pray to make sure everybody hears us and knows we're talking right. We get our these and thous in the right place. And we make sure everything's right. I've heard some preachers pray, and I could have sat down and took notes on their prayer and made a sermon out of it. Everything all in order. God doesn't necessarily want that. God wants us to have communion with Him. You have a best friend. You have a husband, a wife. God wants us to have communion as we have with our best friends. That we just are able to share everything. That we're able to talk about, we're able to do, we're able to just say, here I am the way I am. God, you know me. This is what you know everything about me, but I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me my blessings. Just thanking the Lord. And pray. It is a spiritual task. You know the best way to go to sleep tonight? Start praying. How many times have I been praying on my bed, my head on my pillow, and wake up the next morning and I say, I don't know how far I got. Boy, I'm glad y'all are agreeing with me. I'm glad I'm not the only heathen in this in this place. Sometimes we don't need to wait till we lay down. Now lay me down to sleep, that kind of stuff. Sometimes we need, because the devil, he wants to rob us of that spiritual fellowship that we have with our God. And if you're not careful, if you can't sleep, you'll start praying so you'll go to sleep. I guarantee you'll go to sleep. Now I've prayed a few times that it wasn't any way going to sleep because of burdens and problems and struggles in your life. I'm talking just every day. A lot of times we say, well, I'll pray tonight before I go to bed. And you go to bed and you don't remember what you prayed. You didn't get half a dozen words out and you're out. Prayer is such an important thing that Paul tells us here, continue in prayer. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't draw back. Just continue. May the Lord help us to do that. May the Lord bless us. And here we are. I can't believe in just a few days we'll be halfway through the month of January. And it's 70 degrees right now. And everybody's sick. And wouldn't it be great that we go from this point tonight and a few months down the road we can say, I want to let people know what God's done for me in my prayer life. I want you to know how God answered a special prayer for me. The unspoken requests, don't take those lightly because those are things that we just, between us and God, and we want you to pray with us. And God can answer those things. God can answer my need. He can answer your need. He can take the needs of my family that are lost and they can be saved. He can take your lost family members and He can regenerate them. And many times it's because of the unending, unceasing prayer of God's people. May God help us to use that important thing, commodity that God has given us, and it's called prayer. Not a form, not a fashion, not out of habit. We don't pray just because it's a habit. We pray because we're supposed to, because God tells us to. And so may we take that commodity that is very, very important and use it to the fullest extent and just put the Lord on the, put Him out front and say, God, what can you do for me? I want to brag on you. I want to know what you're going to do for me. I want you to show me what you want me to do for you. And then, Lord, I just love you. I care. And if God would help us to do that, I believe our lives would be so much happier. I believe it would be so much more compassion. I believe it would be so much more instruction and help from the Word of God when we know we can talk to the Lord. It's one thing to take your phone. I can take this phone here tonight and I can call halfway around the world. And I can get a hold of Brother Solomon. I can call Brother Ronnie. And it's amazing how cheap it is to do that anymore. And we can talk to anybody. We can call anybody. And yet, we leave the most important person out. And we don't have to have this. We don't have to have hanging on a wall a phone with a cord. Well, they don't have those no more. But we have a prayer line. It's from us to God. He has an answer line. It's from here to here. His word. And praise the Lord for what He does for us. And may we take 2017 and use it just to say, God, I want to see what You can do for me, what You will do for me. I want to be available. I want to be usable. If you're available, if you're usable, you know what? God will use you. Whatever way is best suited to you. What you can do, I maybe can't do. What I can do, maybe you can't do. But God uses us for who we are and the talents or the personality traits. He uses us for who we are. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't get you a how-to-do-it book and try to do what they tell you. Just do what God tells you to do. And the Lord will bless that, and the Lord will honor it. He's promised to in His Word. And He's a God that cannot lie. Let's stand together tonight.